Aaron Rodgers is eliminated, the most exciting weekend of football of my lifetime, and the Baseball Hall of Fame has become a joke. La Valley Sports Talk begins right now. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the La Valley Sports Talk podcast, brought to you by the Soundline Network. As always, I am your host, Chris La Valley. Hope you all are doing well and staying safe. Before we get into the most exciting weekend of football, I believe, of my lifetime, I got to talk Aaron Rodgers. Now, this segment's going to go in a bunch of different places, so bear with me, because I believe that there's a lot to unpack when it comes to Rodgers. So let's start off with his play on the field this weekend. All right, I think that's where we need to start. And there's no excuse to be made. There's no way to parse it. Rodgers was not very good. He drove the Packers down the field on the first drive, owned the 49ers, put up 7 points with ease. And when that happened, I'm watching the game, and I thought in my head, holy shit, this is going to be a blowout. This game, it's going to be over by halftime. Similar to what we saw, well, although the game didn't end up being a blowout, what we saw in the first half with the Rams and Buccaneers game was what I was expecting to see with the Packers and the 49ers. And then Aaron Rodgers didn't score a touchdown for the rest of the game. Now, you want to blame the special teams? I'm right there with you. The special teams for the Packers sucked. Matt LaFleur is an overrated head coach. His win-loss record is because he has Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback. Let's be frank about it, okay? So everyone who wanted to give Matt LaFleur praise, and I remember reading articles and seeing headlines on various television shows over the past year about how Matt LaFleur is criminally underrated. No one ever gives him credit. He should be in the conversation of Coach of the Year. No, he should not. He is so overrated, it's ridiculous. You went into that game knowing that your special teams was shit, and you did not make any type of adjustments, clearly. You had a bye week, and you did nothing to fix the massive hole that you had in special teams. And it came back and bit you in the ass. Okay, that's enough about the special teams. Bring it back to Rodgers. The fact that Aaron Rodgers couldn't put up 14 points. 14 points would have won them that football game. He got outplayed by Jimmy G. Yes, he got outplayed by Jimmy G. Go back. Don't look at the numbers. And I'm serious about this. Don't look at the numbers. You can even watch the damn highlights of the game. And Jimmy G outplayed Aaron Rodgers in that football game. That's inexcusable. I'm sorry, that's inexcusable. This is a legacy-defining game for Aaron Rodgers. I cannot, as one of the biggest Aaron Rodgers supporters ever, I cannot ever put Aaron Rodgers in a top five conversation ever again. That's gone. That's done. He is no longer in that category. Is he a top 10 quarterback of all time? Yeah, he is. Like, there's no question about that. Where he goes in the top 10, well, we'll see what happens moving forward. But he is no longer in the conversation of the Peyton Manning, the John Elway, Joe Montana, Tom Brady's, even though Tom Brady's in his own category. So that's why it took me a moment to even put him out there. Tom Brady's in his own freaking category. But he can no longer be in that conversation. And you can make the argument now, as much as I don't want to make this argument, and it's hurting my soul to say this out loud. If Pat Mahomes goes to the Super Bowl and wins the Super Bowl, you can now put Pat Mahomes in the conversation ahead of Aaron Rodgers. You don't have to do the whole, well, he hasn't been in the league long enough anymore. Nah, man. He's already been to one more Super Bowl than Rodgers, and he'll have one more ring than Aaron Rodgers. Those are facts, and those are, unfortunately, facts that any Rodgers supporter has to deal with now. This game was atrocious. You had the best team. Aaron Rodgers had the best team he has ever had. I'm not the only one saying this. Like, this is common knowledge. Everyone coming into this weekend knew that this was the year for Rodgers to go to the Super Bowl and win it. He had the best team in the NFC. Take the special teams aside. He had the best weapons he has ever had on offense, for the most part, and easily his best defense. And the defense held up. You can't blame the defense for this ball game. They gave up 13 points. If you told me coming into that game that the Packers defense was going to shut down Samuel for the most part, hold Jimmy G to not throwing a touchdown pass, and the Packers were going to win the football game, and they were going to hold the 49ers to 13 points, I would have been like, okay. So all Aaron Rodgers has to do is score two touchdowns and they win the football game? Okay, I'll take that bet. I'll take that bet all day. It's inexcusable that Aaron Rodgers did not put up at least two touchdowns in that game. I'm not saying that he personally had to score the touchdowns. It could have been Aaron Jones. But he needed to make a play. One play. Whether it was in the second half, anytime in the second half, but particularly in the fourth quarter, he had to make one play. Just one play. You had Matt Stafford, who was able to pull off one of the legacy-defining plays for himself in the fourth quarter with Cooper Kupp. In nut crunch time, Matt Stafford showed you who he was. Josh Allen showed you who he was in nut crunch time. Pat Mahomes showed you who he was in nut crunch time. Joe Burrow has shown you who he is in nut crunch time so far in these playoffs. And Aaron Rodgers came up with nothing. That's absolutely inexcusable. You cannot call him a bad man anymore. You cannot put him in that category. And I know everyone listening to this podcast right now, your jaws are probably on the floor because I am bashing Aaron Rodgers hard. Because he deserves it. There is no excuse for Aaron Rodgers' play this weekend. And I did a lot of thinking. My initial reaction to the game, and I'll be honest with you, because this has taken a lot of time. I'm recording this early Wednesday morning, so I've had a few days to think about this. My initial reaction was, the special teams blew this game. This is not on Aaron Rodgers. And then I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I was like, you know what? This is on Aaron Rodgers. There's no more excuses to be had for him. He does not show up in the postseason. He just doesn't. He's 7-9 since winning the Super Bowl. Now, I have said in the past, and I will give him this out, not all those losses have been on him. He has had to overcome some pretty horrific defenses. They've always had special teams miscues. Think about the Seattle playoff game a few years ago when Seattle went to their second straight Super Bowl, and they lost that game because the damn hands team couldn't handle an onside kick. So I'm not saying that the 7-9 record is purely on Aaron Rodgers. However, a 7-9 record is a 7-9 record. And that's inexcusable. Since winning a Super Bowl, you've gone 7-9. And you're 5-4 in playoff games at Lambeau Field. 5-4. You're 0-4 against the 49ers, the same team. And this is where Rodgers is going to get himself in trouble. Rodgers made the comment after the 49ers didn't draft him, and he felt spurned that they went with Alex Smith over him, that the 49ers were going to regret not taking him. Well, he's now 0-4 in the postseason against them. So I don't really see how the 49ers regretted not taking him. And that's a problem. You make a comment like that, you're going to regret not taking me. I'm going to make you pay. And then you don't show up in any of those games. Like, he got blown out. The last two times that the Green Bay Packers have played the 49ers in the playoffs, they played for the NFC Championship game a few years ago when the 49ers ended up playing the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Packers got blown out. They got absolutely slaughtered in that football game. And then in this football game, Rodgers didn't show up. So in his last two games in the postseason against a team that he said they would regret not taking him, he did not show up. That's legacy defining. And that's something that is going to sit on Aaron Rodgers' ledger for the rest of his career, which is why I said earlier, you can't put him in the top five conversation anymore. You can put him in the top 10. I believe he is a top 10 quarterback of all time. Just if you just go off his numbers, off of his talent alone, he's a top 10 quarterback. But that conversation of putting him in the upper echelon of top quarterbacks, again, with the Bradys, the Montanas, the Mannings, the Elways, and eventually, obviously, Pat Mahomes is going to be in that conversation as well. He's not there. That's just not where he lives anymore. He's back in the Brett Favre era, in that area of top 10 great, but not in that elite category. Look, he could go off to another team. He could stay with the Packers. He could win another Super Bowl. That's possible. But from what we've seen at this point in time, given what we've seen in the postseason, given what we've seen in crunch time, Aaron Rodgers can do it in the regular season. Like, it's almost Peyton Manning-esque. Everyone said Peyton Manning is the greatest regular season quarterback of all time. When it comes to the postseason, Manning had his struggles, which he did. He overcame them the latter part of his career. He was 3-2 against Tom Brady in the AFC Championship games. So he did end up overcoming a lot of his struggles. He also went to 4 Super Bowls, won 2 of them. Rodgers has only been to 1. He did win it, which is great, but he's only been to 1 Super Bowl. Again, that hurts him. Legacy-defining game. And when nut crunch time came, Rodgers didn't show up. All right, so I never do a 2-part opening segment. Usually I do my opening segment, and then I go right into the NFL stuff. This segment, because it's so complex with Rodgers, I wanted to break it up to his on-the-field stuff to now his off-the-field stuff. And so the off-the-field stuff obviously deals with COVID and deals with the vaccine stance that he has. Okay, before I get into why I think it's absurd how people are treating Rodgers, let's just take a little flashback, little time machine, okay, to just like a year and a half ago when Trump was still president. Do you remember how the media used to treat Aaron Rodgers? Up until the vaccine thing. Really, so we could even say, we can even flash back to April, May even of 2021. They used to treat Aaron Rodgers like he was the smartest guy in the room. And why was that? Well, because he didn't like Donald Trump, which automatically makes you great. If you came out against Donald Trump, according to the media, you are on the right side of history. You can do no wrong. You are the smartest person ever. The minute he did something politically that they didn't like. Oh, he was also pro Kaepernick, by the way. He supported Colin Kaepernick's stance. He supported Kaepernick versus the NFL. Oh, the Washington Post was writing puff pieces about Aaron Rodgers. There's multiple of them out there. You can go find them because I did. Talking about how they loved his activism. He stood up against Blood Diamonds. He was standing up for racial justice and all of these things. And oh, Aaron, he's so damn smart, that Aaron Rodgers. Oh, he's so great. We love him. Then all of a sudden, he played them. Not that it's hard. The media aren't very bright people to begin with. Most of them have Ivy League educations. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're smart or intelligent for that matter. And he schooled them. He was able to parse some words, made them believe that he was vaccinated. And, apparently no one understood. And I said this before, the fact that no one was smart enough to question when he said, yeah, I'm immunized, that no one followed up with, well, what does that mean exactly? Are you saying that you're immunized against COVID, or you're just immunized in general? So he was smart enough to parse his words so he could always come back and say, well, technically I didn't lie to you, which technically he didn't. He just didn't answer the question appropriately. That's not lying. That's being clever. And he was clever. And not only is he not pro-vaccine, he's also anti-Joe Biden now. So that now makes you the worst person of all time. Because he must clearly secretly be a white supremacist Trump supporter, right? Because he doesn't like Joe Biden and he's against the vaccines. So So I want to read a quote from an article that he did an interview with Monday Morning Quarterback. All right, so I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to jump right back into why the media is so full of shit here. All right, so here we go. He said, and I quote, "When the president of the United States says this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated, it's because him and his constituents," which I don't know how there are any if you watch any of his attempts at public speaking, but I guess he got 81 million votes. But when you say stuff like that, and then you have the CDC, which how do you even trust them? But then they come out and talk about 75% of the COVID deaths have at least 4 comorbidities. Sorry, I can't speak. And you still have this fake White House set saying that this is the pandemic of the unvaccinated. That's not helping the conversation, end quote. Here's the thing, y'all. He isn't wrong. Objectively speaking, if you can peel back your political layers here for a second, for all of you out there who are just 100% pro-vaccine, who can't see outside of anything. And by the way, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I am pro-vaccine. I'm anti-mandate. Okay, what you do behind closed doors with you and your doctor, that conversation is none of my damn business, nor is it anybody else's business. I would advise you to get vaccinated. I think it is a medical miracle. But I am not I am not going to judge you if you are not vaccinated. That is none of my business, nor is it anybody else's. Because as we have seen, which Aaron Rodgers pointed out, regardless of if you're vaccinated or unvaccinated at this point, you can catch COVID. So there is no more moral preening or moral peacocking, or there shouldn't be, by all of those who are vaccinated. And if you notice, the messaging all of a sudden started to change a little bit when it came to the vaccination things, when all the people in the CDC and all of Joe Biden's allies started getting COVID. Did y'all notice that shit? So don't tell me that the vaccine was not politicized, because it was. And Rodgers hit it right on the head there. Anyway, bringing it back to the media all of a sudden swiveled in their support of Aaron Rodgers. All of a sudden it became he's no longer the smartest guy in the room. Now he's just an arrogant asshole. And it wouldn't surprise me if he doesn't win the MVP because of it. Now, I think I don't think there's even a question that he is the MVP this season during the regular season. And don't give me the Tom Brady stat line, because it's bullshit. Tom Brady threw the ball 1,000 more times this year than Aaron Rodgers did. And Aaron Rodgers' numbers are still better than Tom Brady's. Brady may have thrown for more touchdown passes. Aaron Rodgers had the better completion percentage. Aaron Rodgers had the better QBR. Aaron Rodgers had the better touchdown to interception ratio. Okay, so you want to throw out the Tom Brady stats and, oh, he's 45. No. Don't even give me that crap. I don't want to hear it. But anyway, they may not vote for him for MVP just to spite him, because he schooled them intellectually. I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers is the smartest guy in the room, because, again, it's not that hard to be smarter than the media. The media aren't very bright. Again, they've shown that time and time again. But what I am saying, though, is the hypocrisy within the media, the double standard that they have, is unbelievable. If you notice, they didn't slam Lamar Jackson after it came out that he was unvaccinated. Even when he went out with COVID, they didn't slam him in the media. Not one time. Why is that? Why didn't they slam Lamar Jackson the same way that they slammed Aaron Rodgers? If you're going to tell me, well, because Lamar Jackson was honest with them, okay, I'll hear that. But I find it fascinating, though, that everyone was on Aaron Rodgers' ass when he got knocked out and he missed that Chiefs game. Everyone was like, well, see, Aaron Rodgers cost his team a game. What about Lamar Jackson? What about Lamar? Lamar Jackson missed games because of COVID. Why wasn't he getting slammed in the media? It's just, again, it all comes back to politics, y'all. It all comes back to politics. Aaron Rodgers has been more outspoken, has again bashed the media's preferred presidential candidate, and they don't like it. So look, this whole thing, I'm going to end it here. My feeling about Rodgers is this: he is no longer in the conversation of a top five quarterback ever. He can never be in that conversation again unless he goes on a run and wins multiple Super Bowls before he retires. If he wins three Super Bowls in total. So if he wins another one or a second Super Bowl and he goes on this epic postseason run over the latter half of his career, meaning like the next 2 or 3 years, okay, then we can have that conversation again. But as far as I'm concerned, he's out of that conversation. Off the field, do I think Aaron Rodgers is surly? Yes, I do. Do I think he can be an arrogant asshole? Yes, I do. Do I give a shit about his vaccination status? No, I do not. Nor do I care about your vaccination status. Nor do I think you are a better person if you are vaccinated or you're not vaccinated. And if you don't like Aaron Rodgers because of his vaccine stance, you're part of the problem and you're not part of the solution. All right, so that's enough Aaron Rodgers. Let's get on to the greatest NFL weekend of my lifetime. So we're going to kick it off with we're just going to go in order of the timing that the games were played. So we'll kick it off. Bengals over the Titans, 19-16. Joe Burrow, 348, one interception. Ryan Tannehill, 220 yards, one touchdown, three picks. Tannehill was terrible. He cost the Titans this game, I mean, without question. Look, Joe Burrow played really well. Again, he got sacked 9 times. He's only the second quarterback in NFL history to be sacked more than 8 times and still win a conference game. The other one, or a playoff game, excuse me, the other one was Donovan McNabb back in 2003. So, again, the fact that he got sacked 9 times, was still able to pull off the victory, and did it on the road is nothing short of sensational. Look, man, Joe Burrow is that dude. That dude's got some massive cojones. And overall, I thought the game was a pretty piss poor game to watch. It was just an ugly game. There's a lot of penalties, a lot of miscues. It was just, I don't know. I just found the game to be pretty boring. But congratulations to the Bengals, man. They're rolling right now. And it's going to be really exciting seeing him face off next week against Mahomes. So then we have the 49ers-Packers game. Obviously, I've already talked about the way Aaron Rodgers played in the first segment, so I don't really have to go too much into that. Looking at the 49ers, look, Jimmy G, 11-19 for 131 yards and a pick. Look, I know I said, and I said it before, that Jimmy G did outplay Aaron Rodgers in this game. In my opinion, I think he did. Rodgers, just so you know, his numbers were 20-29 for 225 yards. And that was it. He had no touchdowns, no picks. Obviously, the two MVPs of this game was Deebo Samuel and Mitchell. Both of them carried the 49ers offense. They both had 53 yards, 39 yards. Or one of them had, Mitchell had 53 yards. Samuel had 39 yards on the ground. Samuel also had 44 yards receiving. So overall, look, the 49ers were able to pull this game out. Kyle Shanahan, I think, coached the best game of his career. And look, at the end of the day, it came down to special teams. Like I said before, the Packers special teams was a joke. Matt LaFleur, as far as I'm concerned, is the most overrated coach in the NFL. And the 49ers special teams stack up. Both teams coming in, Joe Buck mentioned it at the top of the telecast, both teams coming in, their biggest flaws were on special teams. One of the coaches made adjustments, the other one didn't, and that's the difference in this ballgame. At the end of the day, that's what it came down to. So moving on, Rams-Bucks. Sunday was, in my opinion, had the much better football games. Rams over the Bucks, 30-27. We got to talk Matt Stafford. All right. Matt Stafford told all the doubters out there to go pound sand. Matt Stafford showed up in the fourth quarter. Nut crunch time, Matt Stafford showed you that he is that dude. He can be that guy. All the people, look, this game turned on a hat in the second half. Everyone wanted to give Tom Brady credit for the comeback. I'm going to touch on Brady in a second. That was miscues by the Rams and great defense by the Bucks. Everyone wants to crush the Bucks defense at the end of the game for giving up that long pass, and they can do that. But everyone who's blaming the Bucks defense as to why Tom Brady lost that football game, you clearly didn't watch that football game because Tom Brady wasn't that great. But again, we're going to touch on Brady in a second. I want to focus in on Stafford, and I want to focus in on Sean McVay here. This game mattered a lot for both of their legacies. If Sean McVay ended up blowing as being the boy genius that he's supposed to be, if he blew this football game, if the Rams blew this football game, this was going to be a massive L on Sean McVay. Not on Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford was clean the entire game. He threw two touchdown passes. They were both in the first half. But overall, he was 28-38 for 366 yards and two TDs. No interceptions, no fumbles. Stafford played one of the better games of his career. This game would have fallen strictly on Sean McVay. The fact that the Rams couldn't score or hadn't scored except for the opening drive in the third quarter, that's a problem. I mean, the fact that they were about to get shellacked by Tampa Bay in the fourth quarter. Tampa Bay outscored them 14-3 in the fourth quarter. That's inexcusable, man. I'm sorry. This game was going to come down to Sean McVay getting outcoached again in a big game. And look, McVay was able to dial up a great offensive play. Stafford was able to execute it, and it worked out. But had they blown that game, this would have been a massive L on Sean McVay. So that brings me to Brady. Brady was 30 of 54 for 329 yards, one touchdown, one pick. Tom Brady played like ass for the majority of this football game. There were a couple drops, but for the most part, he didn't play well. All right. He only put up 3 points in the first half. 3 points. That's it. So don't give me this whole Tom Brady was having an epic comeback. No. It wasn't just Tom Brady. That defense was playing great the at least the latter half of the first half, because they got that fumble right before halftime, which saved them at least 3 points. And then they had multiple fumbles in the second half. The Rams fumbled the ball 4 times. 2 of them from Cam Akers, 1 of them from Cooper Kupp, and let me see, who was the other one from? From Allen. So they had 4 fumbles in all. Tom Brady had 2 turnovers on his own. He had an interception and a fumble. So don't give me this whole Tom Brady was screwed by his defense for an epic comeback. No. Look, Tom Brady is Michael Myers, man. Like, the dude is never dead until the game is over. Like, he's always just lingering and just laying there and just waiting and waiting to snatch your soul. But this game was not some epic debacle by the Buccaneers defense. They didn't let Tom Brady down. Tom Brady let himself down by his play. Again, he was 30 of 54. It wasn't like he was knocking down passes left and right here. He had a lot of three and outs, and he looked his age. He's 45 years old. Father Time comes for everybody. But the narrative that's being spun is that he got screwed by his defense. That's not what happened. Brady just didn't play well. So good for the Rams, man. And I'm so happy for Matt Stafford. I cannot say that enough. He told all the haters to go to hell. That throw to Cooper Kupp was legacy, as bad as Aaron Rodgers played, and I said that was legacy defining. So wasn't this. This was legacy defining too. This proved to everybody that Matt Stafford can be that guy to take his team to the promised land. And then that brings me to easily the greatest game of the weekend and probably the greatest football game I have ever watched, at least as far as quarterback play goes. And that was the Chiefs and the Bills. Now, full stop, I was bummed out like you cannot believe about how this game ended. All right, I felt awful for Bills fans, and I have never felt so bad for a losing quarterback in my life, for Josh Allen. Like, I have been upset for Peyton Manning before. Me being upset for Peyton Manning losing doesn't even come close to how devastated I felt for Josh Allen. Josh Allen played the perfect football, the greatest quarterback performance in a loss of all time. Dude was 27 of 37 for 329 yards, 4 touchdowns. He also rushed the ball 11 times for 68 yards. Josh Allen did everything you can do to win a football game, and he's now out of the playoffs. The guy threw for 9 touchdowns and 0 interceptions in the postseason, and he's now out because Pat Mahomes played a half a tick better. Just a half a tick. Mahomes was 33 of 44, 378 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Mahomes also carried the ball rushed the ball 7 times, I should say, for 69 yards into TD. Josh Allen and Pat Mahomes have put themselves at the top of the quarterback spectrum. There is no question about it. They are 1A and 1B. There is no debate about this at all. I don't care. Joe Burrow could win the Super Bowl. He's not better than Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes. I'm sorry. There is nothing you are going to convince me of after watching. To me, that was the Super Bowl. We watched the Super Bowl on Sunday night. The Chiefs-Bills game was the Super Bowl. You're not going to change my mind about that. They are the two best quarterbacks in the league, bar none. There is no debate. No, I don't give a shit if Tom Brady is still in the league. I don't care how much longer Aaron Rodgers plays. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me. They are the two best quarterbacks in the league, bar none. 1A and 1B. There is no question about it. Josh Allen, in my opinion, is more talented than Patrick Mahomes. But, for everyone who's starting to scream right now, what Pat Mahomes was able to do with 13 seconds left, to be able to put his team in field goal range, was nothing short of sensational. Now, does that prove how terrible the Bills' defense was coached? Yeah, it was. Leslie Frazier, who I like, should never get a head coaching job for that performance alone. I'm sorry. Everyone was talking about how Frazier should get another coaching opportunity. Nah, not after that. Not after that. You allow the number one defense in the league, the number one overall defense in the league, couldn't make a fucking stop with 13 seconds left. No, I'm sorry. Leslie Frazier does not deserve to be a head coach. Frankly, Leslie Frazier's job should be on the line right now. That's how bad that was. Realistically speaking, you have the number one fucking defense and you let the opposing quarterback drive down the field in 13 seconds. 13 seconds. All you had to do was make one play. all you had to do was make one play, whether it be a sack, whether it be a like a, some sort of turnover, anything, or hell, just play some fucking defense on their corners. I mean, by the cornerbacks, play some defense on the receivers. Anything would have prevented them from getting in field goal range, and they couldn't do it. That's on that Bills defense, but that does not take away from what Pat Mahomes did, because it was nothing short of sensational. And watching that game, you knew whoever won the coin toss was winning that football. There was no question about it. I don't care if the Bills got the ball, the Chiefs got the ball. I'm watching the game and I'm saying out loud, whoever wins, this is the biggest coin toss in NFL history, because whoever wins this coin toss is winning the football game. Both guys, both quarterbacks had so much momentum behind them. It was unreal. The confidence level for either side had to be to 1,000. I mean, how could you not be confident in Josh Allen after what he did? How could you not be confident in Pat Mahomes after what he did? It was, it blows my mind how good that game was. And yes, I am absolutely devastated. I wanted the game for Josh Allen so badly, so badly. And I'm devastated for Bills fans. Those guys, you know, we talk about the Detroit Lions, we talk about the Cleveland Browns, and we talk about fan bases that are snake bitten. Is there a more snake-bitten franchise than the Buffalo Bills? They went to 4 Super Bowls. They lost all 4 of them. Those fans, man, and those fans get after it. They call them a Bills Mafia for a reason. But I think the Bills are snake-bitten. I think that franchise, those fans are just, oh, man, it sucks for them. It really does. But this is what we want. This type of performance of just 2 quarterbacks going at it, this is all we can ask for as NFL fans. This game, like, I just can't get over how good this game was. It was the best quarterback performance, as I said at the top, that I have ever seen. I have never watched 2 quarterbacks go anything you can do, I can do better, back and forth at each other like this. And I grew up watching Manning versus Brady. They never had, never, not one time did they ever have an epic battle like this. Sure, their games are great. They were the games that everybody wanted in the postseason. You wanted Brady versus Manning. But they never ended up like this. I'm not being prisoner of the moment. I'm not being hyperbolic. This was the greatest quarterback battle I have ever seen. And now as NFL fans, all we can hope for is that we get Mahomes versus Allen every year at some point in the playoffs for at least the next decade plus. All right, so last week I was 2-2 with my picks, which now brings me to 6-4 for the playoffs. So these 2 games, I'm going to tell you who I think is going to win and who I want to win. All right. So if we look at the Bengals Chiefs, since that's going to be the first game, I believe that's 3:00 on Sunday. I'm rooting for the Bengals. I think the Chiefs have got this game. There is so much for the Bengals to overcome. They have no offensive line. The Chiefs defense played pretty well. I mean, albeit, again, Josh Allen played an excellent football game. But there were points where that defense was getting to Allen. Like, they had a few sacks there. And if they're able to get a few sacks against Josh Allen, they're going to be able to beat the shit out of Joe Burrow, too, if they really want to go after him. So, overall, I just think the Chiefs are going to win this football game. Again, I'm rooting for Burrow. I'm rooting for the Bengals. I just don't want to see the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. But at the end of the day, I don't know how the Bengals can keep up with the Chiefs' firepower. The Chiefs just proved on Sunday night that they have the best offensive weapons in football. Like, there's no debate about that. So I truly just don't see the Chiefs being able to keep, I mean, excuse me, the Bengals being able to keep up with the Chiefs. I think the final score is going to be something like, I don't know, 32-20. I mean, I don't think at the end of the day it's going to be that close of a football game. And then that brings me to the Rams and the 49ers. And this game, to me, is all about the coaches. Kyle Shanahan owns Sean McVay. Shanahan is 6-0 in his last 6 games against Sean McVay. This is Sean McVay's legacy-defining football game here, okay? Because if Kyle Shanahan can go 7-0, You can't say that Sean McVay is the boy genius anymore. I'm sorry. You can't. Kyle Shanahan would now own Sean McVay. With that being said, the Rams are the better football team, and I think the Rams are going to the Super Bowl. The Rams were my preseason pick to make it to the Super Bowl. Matt Stafford was my preseason MVP pick. I was dead wrong about the MVP pick. And yes, I jumped off the Rams bandwagon in the wild card round because I didn't like what I saw from them. They have played great football the past 2 weeks. I think overall, their defense is really starting to heat up, and they have weapons everywhere on offense. I don't think that the 49ers can keep up with them. Unless their defense step, I mean, the 49ers defense is great. Don't get me wrong. Obviously, look what they did to Aaron Rodgers. So they could step up and they could shut down Matt Stafford. I just think it's a tall task to ask. The only thing that the Rams have to be concerned about is Cam Akers. That dude turns the ball over way too damn much. And I know that Sean McVay was trying to prove a point or in trying to, you know, keeping Cam Akers in the game last week, trying to say, hey, man, we still got confidence in you. We still believe in you. Dude, that dude coughs up the football again. You got to put Sony Michel in and keep him in for the remainder of the football game. You cannot turn the ball or fumble the ball multiple times in an NFC championship game and expect to win. That's just not going to happen. But overall, again, I'm also rooting for Matt Stafford. Like, I'm not going to lie about it. It would be great. Don't get me wrong. 49ers get in the Super Bowl. I'm not going to be upset if the 49ers win the football game. Like, good for them. But I am rooting hard for Matt Stafford. This is Matt Stafford's time. This is his time to just to continue to prove everybody wrong. He's got 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions in the playoffs so far. He hasn't turned the ball over once. He's played clean football. I'm rooting very hard for him. So overall, I think the Rams are the better football team. Coaching, it's going to come down to coaching as well, though. I mean, I do. I think coaching does play a part in this, and this is a legacy-defining game for Sean McVay. I really do believe that. And he's fortunate because I think he has the better football team. So I'm going to take the Rams like 30 to 18, 17. Yeah, 30 to 17. We'll go 30 to 17. 30 to 18, that's kind of a weird score. We'll go 30 to 17. Rams, I don't think it's particularly close. I think the Rams kind of run away with it, especially in the second half. So for your Super Bowl, I'm thinking it's going to be Chiefs, Rams in Los Angeles. And we'll see what happens. So the Baseball Hall of Fame has a new inductee in David Ortiz. Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, and Curt Schilling are no longer on the ballot. They did not get enough votes to make it into the Hall of Fame. Alex Rodriguez, for what it's worth, in his first year of eligibility, got something like 36% of the vote. So he's never going to get into the Hall of Fame either. Here's my problem with the baseball writers and my issue with the Baseball Hall of Fame. Is there's a double standard. There's a clear double standard at play, and that is because David Ortiz went in on the first ballot. For those of you who may have forgotten, David Ortiz got popped for PEDs for a PED test that he failed in 2003. Now, Robert Manfred has come out and stated that, as far as he's concerned, David Ortiz was clean because there's no guarantee that we can possibly 100% prove that whatever substances were in David Ortiz's system that they may or may not have been legal, which is bullshit. Okay. Here's the deal. David Ortiz is a beloved figure. He is beloved in Boston. And for the most part, he's beloved by the sports media. The media loves David Ortiz. Big personality, big smile, seems like a really nice guy. Very, very media friendly. The media has always loved David Ortiz. Barry Bonds was never media friendly. Roger Clemens was also never media friendly. Curt Schilling has not been media friendly. Are we catching on to the pattern here? So the players that weren't media friendly, who were never really kind to these sports writers, aren't getting into the Hall of Fame. Although we know they took PEDs. I'm not saying they didn't cheat. But so didn't David Ortiz. David Ortiz cheated. He got popped. You can try and do all the semantic bullshit games you want. But that doesn't take away from the fact that the dude cheated the game. It is what it is. He cheated the game, but somehow he's being rewarded for it. And not only is he getting rewarded for it, but he's getting in first ballot. That's a joke. I'm sorry, that's a joke. If you wanted to, look, I'm not saying David Ortiz isn't a Hall of Famer. I'm not saying he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. However, he should not be first ballot. If you're going to try and tell me that Barry Bonds the home run king, Roger Clemens, who has the most Cy Youngs of all time, and Curt Schilling, who had the arguably the greatest postseason performance as for a pitcher ever with the Bloody Sock game. That Bloody Sock's in the Hall of Fame, by the way. You're going to tell me that those three don't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? But again, a player, a home run hitter like David Ortiz, a power hitter, gets popped for PEDs, and he's in. To me, it kills the legitimacy of the Hall. You can't have someone take, like, how do you take the Hall seriously? In all honesty, how do you take it seriously? If you're going to put one person in who got popped for PEDs, but you're going to take away all the other ones who are better overall players than David Ortiz, Clemens was a better all-time player. Barry Bonds sure as hell was a better all-time player. And you could argue Curt Schilling was. Those three players aren't in the Hall of Fame, but David Ortiz is. And first ballot. I mean, that's the rub for me. Is the double standard is so clear. Obviously, the double standard is because the media are just a bunch of clowns. Again, this is the same media, the same sports writers who didn't unanimously select Derek Jeter into the Hall of Fame. Are you fucking kidding me? I mean, that alone, the voter, and I said it before, the voter who didn't vote for Derek Jeter to be unanimous into the Hall of Fame should lose that their eligibility to vote. Because that's a fucking joke. But again, it comes back to who the media likes, which then makes me question the legitimacy of the Hall as a whole. And take Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens aside for a second. Curt Schilling is pure politics. Curt Schilling was never popped with PEDs, at least not to my knowledge. There was nothing that ever came out, at least nothing that I've read, that ever questioned Curt Schilling's legitimacy as an athlete. The only reason why Curt Schilling's not in the Hall of Fame is because people don't like his politics. And don't get me wrong, Curt Schilling has said a lot of stupid shit in his life. I'm not justifying the stuff that he said. But you're going down a real slippery slope here. Because if you're not going to put Curt Schilling in the Hall of Fame, then that means you need to go back and you need to reevaluate all the other people that you've put in. Are you going to tell me, especially in the era that a lot of these players played in, that there weren't a bunch of racists or sexists or homophobes that y'all voted in back in the day? Because let's be real about it, there were. So if we're going to start deciding who's going to make it into the Hall of Fame based off of the shit that they've said, then that hall is going to crumble pretty damn quickly. And that goes for all of the Hall of Fames. I'm not just talking baseball. Lawrence Taylor. Lawrence Taylor, who raped a young girl, is in the Hall of Fame in the NFL. So if we're going to start questioning people's off-the-field behavior and evaluating that as to whether or not they get into the Hall of Fame, then let's start right there. Let's start with Lawrence Taylor and then work our way down to Curt Schilling. Sure, Curt Schilling said some stupid shit, but he never committed a crime. The Curt Schilling thing to me is just absolutely egregious. Absolutely egregious. Because you don't like his politics, he's not in the Hall of Fame. That's just bullshit. But the fact that Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds aren't in the Hall of Fame again is a fucking joke. You have his bat when he broke the home run record. You have Curt Schilling's sock. They have memorabilia from Roger Clemens in there. So you have memorabilia from these players, but you don't actually have their plaques in the Hall of Fame. What the fuck are we even doing? Like, again, how do you not question the legitimacy of the Hall of Fame at that point? It doesn't make any sense. So as I close this out here, I am aware that I have a lot of friends that are diehard Red Sox fans who love David Ortiz. Okay, and again, I am not saying that David Ortiz does not deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, because I believe that all those other guys deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. However, the fact that they're not in the Hall of Fame makes me question how the hell somebody who got popped with PEDs gets in first ballot. And if you can't see the double standard there, I don't know how to help you. Because at that point, all you're doing is you're just telling me that your fandom means more to you than any type of intellectual integrity. Because you cannot tell me that it is fair for one person to get in who was popped and get in first fucking ballot. But yet we're going to leave out all those other guys. Although the two out of those three cheated, just like the guy who just went in first ballot. The NFL needs to fix their overtime rules. This is the subject of the first part of my last word segment. I do want to touch on quarterbacks too for a second. The overtime rules are a joke. The fact that Josh Allen didn't get to touch the ball is a crime. I said the same thing. This isn't sour grapes. I said the same thing about Pat Mahomes when it was Brady versus Mahomes. What was it, 3 years ago? The year that the Patriots went to the Super Bowl and beat the Rams in Mahomes' first AFC championship game. The fact that Mahomes didn't get to touch the ball in overtime. I said the same thing then. I said it's a joke. The NFL needs to be better than this. I know people have said, I've read it on Twitter, I've heard it in conversations that I've had with others about how the reason why the rules are set up the way it is because they don't want overtime to last forever. Look, the rules that you have set in place right now, use that in the regular season. I'm fine with it. I get it. You don't want to have overtime taking up, you don't want the games going 5-6 hours because obviously, especially if it's a 1 o'clock game, you've got the 4 o'clock games coming up. You want people to be watching all of the games. I get it. I do. I understand. Time constraints. I respect that. But in the postseason, you should have a different set of rules because it was a crime not to be able to see Josh Allen back on that football field. Look, I'm not saying that I have all the answers, but there has to be a better way to do it. I've listened to some ideas on Bill Simmons' pod. I've heard Ryan Russillo bring up ideas too. I don't care how you do it, but you got to find a way so both quarterbacks get an opportunity to play. It's just, it's not fair. It is not right. The fact that once again, we are devoid of being able to see the opposing quarterback who had done everything up to that point to win the football game, not get an opportunity to walk back on that field and at least give him an opportunity to respond after what Mahomes was able to do. It's just not fair. It's not. Now, real quick, just a little note. The Buffalo Bills did have an opportunity to step up with the Kansas City Chiefs a few years ago to try and change the overtime rules. Because after the Chiefs got screwed against the Patriots, that offseason the Chiefs brought up the idea of changing the overtime rules. And the Bills didn't say shit. They didn't step up with them. They just were like, nah, we're good. We think the overtime rules are fine. And it ended up costing them. So I don't have sympathy for the Bills organization because they had an opportunity to try and change the overtime rules. But I'm just saying in general, the overtime rules should be changed. We should get the opportunity, especially in a classic game like that, we should get the opportunity to see the opposing quarterback get back on that field. And don't give me the whole, it's 11 versus 11. The Bills defense needed to make a stop. Yeah, no shit. The Bills defense needed to make a stop. I'm not arguing that. But Josh Allen doesn't play defense. So that argument to me is fucking stupid. Don't give me the, both teams have the same, they have the same ability. One has to make a stop. I agree with you. But that's not the argument. The argument isn't about whether or not the defense showed up. The argument is the quarterback on that team whose defense didn't show up doesn't play fucking defense. Josh Allen has nothing to do with that defense. So, nor did Pat Mahomes have anything to do with Kansas City's defense that wasn't able to stop Tom Brady. We should not be robbed of getting the opportunity to see the opposing quarterback step back on the field and see if they can also score a touchdown. And I don't care, like I said, I don't necessarily have the ideas, but I do think that at least the first go should be quarterback scores, or you put up seven, give the opposing team the opportunity to also put up seven, and then after that, make it sudden death. I'm totally fine with that if you want to do it that way, because at least then we get the opportunity for the quarterback to at least try and respond. And that's all I'm looking for, but something to that effect. Anyway, the NFL overtime rules suck. They need to be changed. And lastly, can we just think real quick about how great the AFC quarterback race is going to be? The matchups that we're going to see. Obviously, Mahomes and Allen, like I said, are creme de la creme, but they're creme de la creme for the entire league. But Just think about the AFC quarterback battles. You've got Herbert, you have Burrow, you have Allen, you have Mahomes, and hopefully Trevor Lawrence is able to step up and become the quarterback that we all think he could be, or at least myself and Matty Douche, that we think he could become. Think about that. You got five potential all-stars at quarterback, superstars at quarterback, if you will. That's fantastic. Which is why I hope and I pray that if Aaron Rodgers leaves the Packers and Russell Wilson leaves the Seahawks, that they stay in the NFC. I don't want to see him in the AFC. It's perfect right now. The NFC is devoid of great quarterbacks. They are. They have Matt Stafford. Right now, they have Matt Stafford. They have Aaron Rodgers. They have Kyler Murray. And you have Russell Wilson. That's about it as far as great quarterbacks go. Look, Tom Brady's... Look, I think he's going to retire, but that's a whole other conversation. If they come into the AFC, like if Aaron Rodgers was to go to Pittsburgh or go to Denver or something like that, yeah, it would be, I mean, don't get me wrong, it would be great, but we've got enough greatness right now in the AFC. You guys stay in the NFC. I don't want to see them in the AFC. I am so giddy about the opportunity to see these four, potentially five guys battle it out. And yes, I left Lamar Jackson off this list. I'm sorry. He's not in that category right now. He's just not. It's nothing against him. I just don't think that he's on that level. But regardless, even if you wanted to add Lamar Jackson to the mix, that's six potential quarterbacks that are superstars. It's just, it's crazy. It's so crazy. It's also crazy how top-heavy the AFC is to the NFC. But again, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. I just want to put that out there. I'm super pumped for the future of football, especially in the AFC. Because the quarterback play is just going to be on a whole other level. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the LaValley Sports Star Podcast, brought to you by the Soundline Network. As always, thank you so much for tuning in and listening. I greatly appreciate it. Please subscribe, rate, and view wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to check out the Richard and Lala Podcast and the Secret Stuff Basketball Fantasy Podcast, hosted by Matthew Danilek. And that is it. That's all I have for you this week. Hope you all be well. Stay safe. Enjoy the championship round. I'll talk to you all again soon.